January 31st, 2019. That makes me, I guess I started too fast. That makes me 32 and you're sober. And I really love the reading. I didn't get that information or overlooked it somehow that you did this reading before, before the meeting started. I really appreciated that. I love when there's some extra text. And I am definitely the real alcoholic. And one of the things that I'm most grateful for today is understanding that and understanding what that means. Because for a very long time, even here, I didn't understand. I knew that I had, like, I knew that drinking was a problem, but it turns out alcoholism isn't really a drinking problem, and I thought it was. I thought if I could just quit drinking, I'd be okay. The problem was I couldn't, and that was sort of my struggle for a long time. I want to backtrack just a tiny bit, just to give you a little bit of my history. I came to my first meeting very much against my will. I was a kid. I was in a lot of trouble in 1981, and my first sobriety date. And by first sobriety date, I mean the first time that I held on to a date and had some time. And in this case, it was several years actually. Was in January of 1987. And but I did not, it was not until I was several years into this sobriety. And sad as it is to say this, sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, like ready to off myself, that I finally began to recover from alcoholism. And I want to share with you just a little bit about what that took for me, because I think there is still, I mean, clearly it's not, I think it, it seems clear there's still a lot of misunderstanding about that. Now, if you're not the real alcoholic, if you just sort of have a drinking problem that's caused some troubles in your life, you might be able to come here and get hooked up with these wonderful people and kind of use it like as a self-help support group type of deal, and that'll be okay. But if you have what I have, it will never be enough. It will never be enough. And it not only won't get better, but it'll get worse, because alcohol was, even though it was poison and even though it was killing me, it was still really kind of my medicine. It was the closest thing to an answer I had. And that's not saying a lot, but I mean, it is definitely the truth. It was the closest thing to a solution I had. And so when you take that away, you really see what I have going on. You really see how sick I am. And I have, it's a powerful truth of my experience that I've been several years sober. I mean, not very dry, but several years sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, going to so many meetings and drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes with the best of them, and have done things that I, honest to God, never did loaded. Like, that's how sick I got. I got worse. I got a lot worse. And I got to do things sober that I had not even done loaded. And I'm grateful for that, because I, it, for whatever reason, it took every ounce of it to come to understand what I was really up against. And most importantly, that I, in and of myself, had no chance against it. None at all. Like, not even a little tiny bit. I didn't need God's help. I needed saving. There was absolutely nothing I could do in and of myself. And if you are the real thing, if you really suffer from alcoholism, that is the, that is what you're up against. That is your truth, regardless of whether you're ready to accept it yet or not. That is it. And, it's sometimes so tempting to, like, you guys are a great example of being very warm and very welcoming and, very supportive and very uplifting and, trying to, I imagine, I presume, trying to make people feel not only very, very, very warmly welcomed, but supported, you know, like they have a safe place to go. But man, if only that was enough, you know, and the truth is it's not nearly enough. You know, the only thing that stands between me and a drink, and I'm saying this with 32 and a half years without a drink, but the only thing that stands between me and a drink is God. Always has been, always will be, only thing. And I am so very clear about that today, and so grateful to be clear about that today. And so, you know, I just want to say, because I'd hate to mess around and forget, if there's anyone here, you know, newish, returning, maybe been around a long time and just still not nearly as comfortable as you'd like to be, you know, if there is anything at all I might be able to do to help, please don't hesitate to reach out. My number is like on the screen in my box. I guess this is being recorded, so for anyone who's not here, I'm on WhatsApp as well. If you know, because I it seems some of this is quite international. I'm in the heart of Orange County in Southern California, in the States. But I work with people all over the world, men and women. You know, one of the most incredible blessings of this wacky, you know, COVID and shutdown and Zoom and. I can't tell you how grateful I am. And it's so ironic because I thought the whole online platform was going to be the worst thing that ever happened to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I, of course, was so sure because I'm always so sure. You know, I always think I know. And I am more grateful than I know how to say, like way more grateful than I know how to say that I got to be wrong again, because this has been, as far as I can tell, the best thing that's ever happened to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's certainly the best thing that's ever happened to me in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm just, you know, really, really, really grateful for that. I was actually just sharing with someone yesterday, you know, I've been sober, you know, quite a long time. I've been recovered for almost 3 decades. You know, like it's been a good, you know, it's been a good long while. And yet, I remember so vividly. Like I mean, it's like yesterday. Like I am frequently, absolutely, and I feel like it's going to happen right now. I am frequently just absolutely reduced to tears, especially when I'm faced with someone who appears to still be in that condition. Like I know what it is to be in that condition. I have not forgotten, and I hope I never do. I hope I never do. You know, I had a serious problem with alcohol, no question about it. And it caused me a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble. But that was sort of the least of my problems, you know? I mean, when I think about the condition I got here in, that's what I think about, the condition, not my drinking. I don't, you know, like that was very problematic, very problematic. But I just was so miserable. I just was so deeply unhappy. I was so impossibly uncomfortable in my own skin. It was just intolerable. You know, it was just absolutely intolerable. And it's so incredible to me because today the joy of living just blows me away. Like I can't like I truly still can't get over it. I have been so changed. You know, the Big Book uses such beautiful, beautiful language. You know, it talks about being reborn. It talks about being restored. It talks about being catapulted. All of those things have happened for me, and I really, truly understand that language. I really, truly understand what's meant by it. I used to be pretty good at acting like I did. And I think there were stages where I probably even really believed I did, but it wasn't true. Today, it's true. Today, I really do know what it is to be happy, joyous, and free. And I have for some time. And I think this is the most beautiful thing. It turns out, to my great surprise, that it gets better and better and better and better. And just when you think it couldn't possibly get any better, it gets even better. Like, that's what real recovery is like. And it wasn't always like that. Like, I mean, there were rough times in the beginning. Even once I finally turned myself over to what's in this big book, even after I finally allowed myself to be sponsored by another, mere mortal. I mean, I allowed this woman who, the only thing I knew about this woman, other than what I could see, which I didn't like very much, by the way. She was this, I'm almost 6 feet tall, and she was very petite. And I've always felt like I was too tall, I was too big. And she was like this cute little tiny thing. And she's very attractive. She's very intelligent. She was more educated than I am. She had a, at that time, she was way more educated than I am. She had a home of her own. She had a husband, a dog. I mean, she had a life, and I had never had a life. I hadn't, it's not so much that I had burnt my life into the ground. I mean, I hadn't even really gotten started yet. I mean, I didn't, I was in bad shape, very bad shape. But what I got about this woman who I didn't, and she lived in Anaheim Hills on the hill, and she was just everything that I suppose I thought I wanted and knew I wasn't, which that's totally different today. But at the time, I think that's probably fairly accurate. But you know what got me after spending very little time with her? She was recommended to me, just cold. Someone saw me in the condition I was in when I finally, I don't know, I just reached out with a kind of desperation I'd never been able to muster before, and someone said, call this woman. And I did, couldn't believe it, but I called her. And you know what I got from her is that, I guess, two things. And I got him like in this way that was so completely undeniable, just completely undeniable. I got that she understood what it was to be me. And I'd never experienced that before. Even though I'd been in AA for years and gone to millions of meetings and spoken with so many different people and been in book studies and literature studies and work, workshops. And I mean, I did it all. And I'd had sponsors, but I'd always felt different. I never ever got the sense that you had what I have. I never ever got the sense that you understood what it was to be me. I always felt like, yeah, I can relate to this and I can relate to that, but I must have something else going on too, because you're not talking about any of this, And when I met this woman, I got it that she knew what it was, like knew what it was to be me, really knew what it, my insides, my guts, my soul knew that she understood. And that meant everything, everything. And then the second thing that was, even more important is something had happened. And she wasn't, she was in a totally different place, a totally different condition, that I was absolutely desperate to, get even a sliver of. I mean, I was so desperate for anything different than what I had going on, And so I listened to this woman. I didn't like anything she had to say. I disagreed with it all. I argued a lot. I was the worst sponsee. I was so awful. I was so awful. But the crazy thing is, and she said this, I've heard her say this about me in front of me. In a way, even though, like, it depends on how you look at it, in a way, I was like the worst sponsee ever, I'm sure. And in another way, I was almost like the opposite of that, because the thing was, I showed up. I showed up. Her easy sponsees, her likable sponsees, her lovely sponsees, they weren't really sure. I was desperate. I was mad, but I was desperate. And so I showed up, but I showed up mad. I was gonna, I, I'm trying, I don't want to cuss, but I mean, I showed up really mad. And I would show up at her house, and I, you know, and she'd try to greet me, you know, warmly, and you know, she'd try to give me, and I'd just squirm and, you know, get, I wouldn't let her hug me. I wouldn't, you know, so crazy. And even after, you know, well into sponsorship with her, I'll never forget, this will give you just a little idea of the condition I was in. I'll never forget the first time she, and maybe anybody that like touched my soul in that way, but the first time she told me she loved me, we were on the phone and I hung up. I just panicked and hung up. Like that was the end of that call. I couldn't, you know, like that's what I had. I mean, I was so angry and I was so mad at the whole world and everyone in it. And I was so sure it was all your fault. But also it seems clear that I didn't hate anybody more than me, you know? I mean, I was so sick and so messed up. And, you know, I used to joke. It's not funny at all, but I used to joke, and it's really quite true that, you know, that the perfect description of how I got here was emotionally crippled and socially retarded. People would laugh, and I mean, it's, you know, it can be funny, but I mean, it was very real. Like that is the best description of how I got here. And I only have a couple of minutes left, but I just want to say to you guys, that is the condition I got here in. And what has happened for me is I, among many, many, many other things, as I have become human, you know, I have become like a real member of the human race. I have become a beloved daughter of my creator. And I know that at a level that I could have never imagined. I got here so committed, and that is the only right word for it, so committed to not believing in God and so committed to that not changing. And today, I'm telling you, the next thing you know, I'm gonna be going door to door telling people about Jesus. That's what happened to me, you know? Doesn't have to be that way for everyone. I understand it's not that way for everyone, but that's what's happened for me. And I am so very grateful for it. And I have, you know, I have been provided so much and given this capacity that I didn't have access to somehow, you know, like it's just like it wasn't there, it wasn't available to me. I mean, I know it was there, but it just wasn't available to me. And today it's all right here. It's all available to me. And I am so grateful for that. And in 2 minutes, I think I can just very quickly say, because this might be for the newest newcomer, the thing that, you know, perks up their ears, and that's all that matters. You know, I got here unemployed and unemployable, homeless, no education. I can't, probably a bunch of other things I can't think of right now. Smoking almost 4 packs of cigarettes a day. I don't smoke anymore, by the way. I mean, just, you know, if you can think of it, you know, I was a train wreck and a half. And what has happened for me that I take no credit for whatsoever is I have gone back to school. I've gotten 2 degrees. I have become a first-time homeowner. I have a home of my own. You know, I lived in the Santa Ana Y, and I'm a homeowner, you know? And so many other things that I can't seem to think of right now. But like that's what can happen here. That's what can happen here. God comes to life inside of me and shows me and the rest of the world what he can do. And it turns out he can do anything, even with someone like me, you know? And I'm so grateful to be here with you guys and share a little bit of that. And again, please reach out if there's anything at all I might be able to do. I think I have a whopping 20 seconds, so I think I will be done. Thank you so much.